Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and we're now joined by the Straits Times tech editor Irene Tam to discuss Singapore's new AI strategy, which was unveiled by Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat earlier this week. There are five AI projects in the areas of healthcare, security, smart estates, education, and logistics.
Well, these sectors were chosen by the Smart Nation and Digital Government Office because of the potential social impact it can bring to Singaporeans, as well as the relative ease with which it can be achieved. Well, let's look into the healthcare project first, Irene. One of the targets is to deploy AI software system Selena Plus, which stands for Singapore Eye Lesion Analyzer Plus, by 2022. Selena Plus scans and analyzes retinal photographs for signs of diabetic eye diseases. Tell us, how does it work?
Well, the AI system is trained already to look for signs of eye disease by studying thousands or hundreds of thousands of similar photographs. Mm-hmm. They can accurately spot common signs of the disease, such as lesions in the retina, in minutes. Human beings, on the other hand, will need a lot more time to study photographs, and also they need to study in the dark to at the preliminary stage of the examination.
Mm. Are there pain points you think Selena Plus will address, though? Because I'm thinking photographs, not all photographs are created equal, right?
Okay.
Dodgy iPhone photograph, high-end DSLR photograph.
Okay. Well, these are really high-end, you know, high-resolution images. But I guess the plus will be the speed of detecting early signs of diabetic eye disease. Early detection can prevent a patient from going blind, so it's pretty critical here. Train human readers, study the images, currently at this point. And the Singapore National Eye Centre, for instance, receives about 4,000 images a day, all of which need to be processed by just 8 to 10 staff who grade eye conditions. Mm. So, but people tire easily, and these they are given like half a day to study images, and they're already tired by then. But machines do not tire, and they can accurately do a lot of things, and they're able to do eye examination at scale. So that's their advantage.
Mm. Well, moving on, Irene, to the border security space. I mean, by 2025, we know that all travellers to Singapore will be able to access a fully automated immigration clearance system, I mean, including facial and iris scans as well. What benefits will this have?
Right. Speed of immigration, again speed.
Speed, yes.
That's
okay.
One thing. Okay. Accuracy is another. Having a multimodal biometric identifier, such as your fingerprints, your facial scans and iris scans, facial iris scans complement fingerprint matching and scanning for immigration clearance. It makes it more accurate, especially for travellers with deteriorating fingerprints due to ageing, scarring or genetics.
What sort of challenges do you foresee, though? Because anecdotally, every time I try to use it, I don't know if it's my nerves or what, then the sweaty thumbprint, they can't, and
can't
I still have
it.
To go through the regular sort of immigration clearance.
Right. I think scanning, people have come to understand that border security is a must-have. I don't think travellers will object to being scanned, you know, the facial scans and iris scans, especially if it's for safety, and also if the authorities holding the biometric database has a good reputation for data security. So the bottom line is, do not screw it up, or it's very hard to rebuild public trust.
Right,
and there'll also be a project in the area of estate management services. I mean, what are the gaps in municipal services that the government is hoping that AI in this case can fill?
The biggest things include lift maintenance and also cleaning. For instance, I mean, lifts can be maintained predictively before the next breakdown. Mm. This involves studying lift cycles and usage. There are also talks about connected cleaning. For example, sensors can be embedded on lift lobby floors to detect usage, and if the next cleaning is required. So if there's high usage, you know, there's a high chance of the lift lobby being dirty more easily, yeah.
Irene, let's talk about the education sector. An automated marking system will be launched by 2022 just for English in primary and secondary schools, though. How will this work?
Well, machines, again, will need to study tons of scripts to understand what is a good essay or correct use of the English language. And students' actual scripts will also need to be scanned by machines for automated grading. While currently marking is manual and teachers spend a lot of time in marking, for example, the marking of PSLE, for example, it takes about many days days and the school is closed for about 4 days. This is a nationwide problem. Well, because marking English papers is laborious and time-consuming, especially English language papers.
But the AI is able to differentiate different sort of handwriting.
I mean, hoping that machines will quickly...
I have terrible handwriting. I'll be at a disadvantage, no?
Small or illegible?
Just horrible, right?
I think that would be one challenge. Mm. But if the script is if it's written and typewritten, if it's typewritten, for example, instead of handwritten, it would be a lot easier.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, how else can AI change our current education system and how students learn these days?
Well, there's a huge potential there. Virtual tutors, for example, with AI, they're already being bandied about by some tuition centres. They require students to do their work online and they'll be graded online. The machine then learns what areas the student needs more practice and will tailor future assignments to help the child. MOE schools are not there yet, but that's the future we're looking at.
We're speaking with Irene Tam, who is the tech editor at the Straits Times. Now, the fifth project, Irene, is in the logistics sector, specifically building a system of intelligent freight planning. Tell us more.
Well, the idea is to get freight forwarders and truckers to share their loading and unloading schedules with port operators for better port scheduling to avoid congestion in the city. The trucks presumably come from, you know, where the driver lives. And, you know, during the morning rush hour, for instance, everybody is going to unload or load their trucks. And but with intelligent freight planning, for example, which will be extended to include air, land and sea cargo by 2030, this problem can be overcome by scheduling trucks and freight forwarders schedules better so that to avoid long waiting times or even congestion.
Well, I'm just wondering how were these plans actually alter and change jobs in the logistics industry?
Drivers will still have their jobs in the medium term, but there is already talk about driverless vehicles and cranes and the remote operation of these machinery, right? The day driverless vehicles become a reality is when drivers will not have a job, but it'll be a process. It'll be a slow process. Any dead-end job, for that matter, faces a risk of being replaced or displaced. People will need to find new skills, such as how to fix or operate AI machines or other problem-solving skills. But new businesses will also be created due to AI, such as in insurance and also in crisis management. So these are some areas that people need to look at.
Irene, so which of the five projects you think the public will be most receptive to or workers should be most afraid of?
Well, I think Singaporeans have a high tolerance for safety-related AI use. A Straits Times poll in September this year on attitudes towards the use of AI shows that privacy takes a back seat here when it comes to safety and security. Mm. More than two-thirds of some 5,000 respondents in the September survey supported the use of AI in law enforcement and also in drowning detection. So naturally, I feel that AI iris scans for border security will be a big winner. What they are afraid of, all parents worry about marking of the children's scripts not being, you know, done fairly.
Accurately.
Yes, accurately, fairly. Or this machine could be fed biased data sets.
Sure.
And that will skew the results. So I think this is an area which needs to be looked at.
Mm. Those with bad handwriting, beware.
And that too.
Okay. I'd like to throw back to an AI index, Irene, that was released in September last year, which ranked Singapore out of 105 global cities as the most prepared for the next wave of technology disruption. So what we've talked about so far certainly illustrates that Singapore does have a vision in the adoption of AI. But what else is in the works?
Well, the thing that won us the first prize in the AI index was our framework to promote the ethical use of AI. It was released at the annual World Economic Forum in Davos in January this year. The Singapore government will also set up an agency task force to study how the country can grow its AI capabilities and become a trusted global hub for testing and deploying AI solutions. Singapore also needs to jumpstart its AI startup scene here. It requires global partnerships, and NTU, for example, is already working with Alibaba on AI research. We need more of such developments here. A healthy and thriving startup scene is what gives us what will set the stage for development in this space.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, Straits Times tech editor Irene Tam, for coming into the studio today to discuss about Singapore's new AI strategy, which was recently unveiled by Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat, right here at Money FM 89.3. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg.
or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.